At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Once again, we are back in the dark forest. And in tonight's video, I am bringing you three horrifying wildlife horror stories. Now sit back, relax, dim those lights, and let's get spooky. The below text is all copied from a now-deleted post from an archived wildlife forum. My sister is a wildlife major, and she sent it to me because she found it so odd. Has anyone ever seen a deer do this? 11/19/2009. This is completely random, and I'm not sure if this is the right place for my question, but here goes. I was driving home from my girlfriend's house the other night. We hang out like every single day, always with either one of us driving to the other's house and spending the entire day there, usually until after 10 or 11 p.m. Anyways, when I was driving back, I'd say it was a quarter after 11, maybe later. I was going past a big field and I noticed a deer. We live in rural West Virginia, so we see deer like this all the time, and it takes a miracle to not hit one every fall or winter season. I always pay attention to the deer when I spot them, to make sure they're not going to run out in front of me. But this deer caught my attention before I was even that close to him, because he was moving his head back and forth really fast. I noticed the motion of his eyes in my headlights, and he was standing maybe 15 feet from the road on my driver's side. Now, it wasn't a normal head bucking or something like that. I know next to nothing about deer, despite the area I live in, but I've seen them like dip their head and stuff when you're getting close to them. It wasn't like that. I'll try to describe the motion as best I can. It was literally rocking his head from side to side, almost as if you could picture someone listening to music and bebopping their head from shoulder to shoulder. Except this was way more dramatic. It was absurdly fast. He was rapidly forcing his head from side to side. Each time, he would go all the way past a 90-degree head tilt, almost like trying to force his head entirely upside down. I can describe it in such detail because it surprised me so much that I slowed down as I passed him to look. I noticed that the speed didn't seem to change at all, and he didn't stop doing the head rocking whatsoever. It was continuously going back and forth, almost as fast as an exciting dog wagging its tail. It looked violent and, like, painful. When I went right past, I tried to look at the deer's face. He wasn't looking at me or my car in the way that they normally would stare. Deer in headlights look. He was looking sideways. His eyes were wide, I guess. I've never really spent time examining the appearance of a deer's facial features. Anyways, I guess I'm asking if this is normal for deer to do. Maybe it was just because it was so late at night and dark on the road, but I found it really unsettling. Truthfully, it creeped me out, and I couldn't stop thinking about it, which is why I'm writing this today. I couldn't find anything like it on Google. I need to ask someone if this is just a really weird behavior they can do. Part of me feels like I should have stopped my car and checked on him, Part of me wants to go back and look for him. I'll go past that field again tomorrow when I go to my girlfriend's again. But I'm not sure if I should stop. I guess just tell me if this is normal or if it's dangerous for me to go looking for him. Thanks. Update. 11/21/2009. First of all, thank you everyone for the suggestions and info. I'm not sure exactly what kind of deer it was for those that were asking, but I'm pretty sure white-tailed are most of what we have here. So against a lot of your suggestions that it could be rabbit or something, I decided to just quickly stop at the field on my way over yesterday. Right around the spot where I'm pretty sure that I saw it, I did find some blood and fur. Don't worry, I didn't touch the blood. But there was enough blood that I could see it pretty much a trail that went towards the woods on the other side of the field. My girlfriend would kill me if I was late, so I had to head to her house before lunch. But I stopped again quickly on my way back at night. It was after 11 again, and I brought a flashlight. I followed the blood trail to the edge of the woods. I was really surprised by the amount of blood. I was actually wondering if maybe he got hit by a car and survived, or if he was rabid and attacked something else. Long story short, I was too scared to go into the woods at night, despite how much of a wilderness adventurer I was feeling like. My girlfriend is having a girls' day tomorrow, so I'm tempted to use my free time to go have a look in the woods during the day. Then again, I might just sleep. Your wildlife investigator, James. Update, 11/22/2009. All right, y'all. I was lazy, and I didn't go back to the woods. However, many of you are now invested in this adventure, which had made me also more invested. I have named the deer Charlie, and I am determined to find out what happened to him. Also, I am 20 years old, you all have been asking, because you are so interested in my story. One of you said, quote, "You want to know how old I am so you know how tragic it would be if I died in the woods?" So thanks for that. I'm going on Tuesday afternoon. I got off work and the missus did not. Per your recommendations, I am taking bug spray, boots, hiking stick, and granola bars, though I dare say that seems a bit dramatic. Onward for Charlie. James. Update, 11/24/2009. Charlie is dead. When I wrote the last post, I was excited and interested. Now I'm just sad. I guess with the blood and all, I should have assumed that Charlie didn't make it. But I can confirm that now. At least, I'm assuming it's Charlie based on the blood trail. Warning, gruesome content. The worst part is that Charlie was eviscerated. While he was still in one piece, technically, his neck and head were bent backwards over his body. His neck ripped open and revealed a ton of blood and skin and fur and his spine and bones. I'm no genius. But what I think is most weird is that if he had injured his neck like this by a car, how on earth could he have walked all the way to this place in the woods? The woods he had went into were at least 50 yards from where he was standing, that I found the start of the blood trail and walked about 5 minutes into the woods to find his body. Can deer survive and run a football field with their head hanging off like a chicken? As I wrote that, I can't help thinking about the thing he was doing when I first saw him. The head rocking, tilting thing. This seemed impossible, but his body almost looked like he had been doing the rocking so hard that he split open his own neck and died on the spot. Does that seem like something that rabies could cause? Update, 11/30/2009. Thanks for all the responses. And all the RIPs for Charlie. Seems like none of you have an idea on what could have happened, aside from my guesses. I guess I'll get back on the thread occasionally to see if anybody has anything to add. But if not, I guess it's farewell for now. Retired wilderness adventurer, James. Update 12/9/2009.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It happened again. This time, I was driving to my girlfriend's house in broad daylight. Just across from the spot in the woods where Charlie was, but in the opposite side of the road, I saw a rabbit sitting still, swinging its head back and forth in nearly the same manner. I immediately pulled over and got out of my car. I tried to slowly go towards it. I noticed that the swinging was very fast again, and violent in the same way that the deer's had been, although the bunny's neck was much shorter and he couldn't swing his head quite as far. I did see that he was already bleeding. I noticed it on his right side, just between his shoulder and neck. I got within 3 feet of him before he took off across the road, onto the field and into the woods, in the exact spot I knew Charlie's blood trail had led him. I'm writing this from her house. I'm too anxious to wait. I'm gonna go back in after the rabbit tonight on my way home. Update 12/10/2009. After this, I'm not sure whether this thread is the right place for this adventure at all. I pulled over in the same spot as before. I checked the time. It was 11:11 p.m. last night when I left my car. I took my flashlight and headed back into the woods, in the same slightly stomped out trail from my previous visit. Charlie's dried blood was still there. After a few minutes' jog, Charlie's body was still in the same place. I looked around the area. It was nothing but dense woods. So, I decided to continue walking in the same direction Charlie had been going. I walked into the woods for another 10 minutes or so. It was about to give up when I saw movement above me. I shined my light up, and there was a robin sitting on a branch. It was looking directly in the direction I was walking, not at me, and it was swinging its head furiously back and forth in the same way. The movement looked even more violent in a bird. It was sudden, rapid flutters over the tiny head left and right and back again. I had to stand on my toes and wiggle my flashlight less than a foot below the bird to get it to fly away. It darted straight through the woods in the direction it was facing and I had been walking, and I charged after it. I'm not sure how long I ran for, but I kept my light ahead and was able to get glimpses of the bird and kept up with it. Eventually, it took me down a very steep hill, where I fell and slid sideways into a small clearing. It was the absolute strangest thing I had ever seen in my life. The first thing I noticed was that there were animals all around me. They were all dead, and in the same way as Charlie. There must have been dozens. Birds, squirrels, chipmunks, rabbits, skunks, possums. and even what looked like a mangy stray cat. All of them were lying in or around the clearing, with their heads snapped back towards their bodies and the insides of their necks on display. As I shined my light around, I noticed the second thing, the horrible smell. I had smelled dead animals before, but never so many, and it was completely unbearable. I pulled my hood up and zipped the winter jacket tight all the way over my nose. I was freaked out. I could hear my heart beating, and I felt like I was hyperventilating. I vomited. I stumbled forward just a bit and noticed how the dead animals on the ground increasingly piled up, moving towards a single direction. As I stepped that way, I shone my light ahead. A few yards away, I noticed it. There was an outcropping of rock between two trees. Underneath the outcrop was a round opening. When I shined my light into it, it did not reveal an end, but only the sides of the rock. It must have been a pretty deep little cave. On either side of it, I noticed more animal bodies, until my light came across something bright blue. I walked over and saw that it was a bag. Like one of those little sin sacks like you get from going to a summer camp on a college tour. As I picked it up, I heard the sound of some pretty heavy rustling nearby. And that's when it was too much for me. I took off with the bag and flashlight up the steep bank as fast as I could. On my way out, I saw dead deer, and I think I even saw dead coyotes that I had not observed on the run in. It took me a while, but my adrenaline was pumping, and I eventually bursted out of the woods right onto the road. I'd come out about a half a mile up the road from where I had parked my car by the field. I jogged back to my car and did not see or hear anything else. When I got home and felt somewhat safe inside, I opened up the bag. There were writing utensils, some bookmarks, and a gray water bottle. Mainly, there was a little sketchbook. I flipped through it, and there were mostly some random drawings. Not very good, but good enough to where I could tell the person liked drawing in their spare time. It was normal stuff, characters and scenery and such, until I got to the last non-blank page. There was a pretty strange drawing that I will do my best to describe. It was a large, somewhat human-looking shape. It had wide eyes and feet, a triangular torso and outstretched arms. There were only three finger shapes on the hands, and they looked long, like full terrets, and drooped straight down from the ends of the arms. The figure had what almost looked like wings, except that they came out of its back instead of the bottom, right above the legs, and dropped straight down as low as its ankles. Finally, in place of its head, there was a humongous hollow circle, three times larger than what you would expect the head to have been based on the body proportions. The outside edges of the entire circle were littered with a bunch of smaller circles and dots. It looked utterly bizarre. Aside from the difference in style, it was drawn in much more poorer quality than the rest of the pictures in the book. It looked as though it was hastily scribbled in with an unsharpened pencil. There were smudges and wet spots all over the page. Lastly, down at the bottom of the page were some really sloppy scribbles that looked like they read, "Zeke 118. It eased me. I must see." Does anyone have any idea what all this could be? I have no words and no thoughts. I couldn't sleep at all last night. I'm terrified. Should I call the police? The game wardens? This is literally all I could think about. I don't know if this is the best idea, but I want to go back to see the cave in the daytime. I'll take my dad's 12 gauge in case I run into an animal or something that's been doing this. It might be terrifying, But for the first time in a long time, I feel like I'm doing something real. After I go, I'll call the game people to come get those dead animals. I'll update you all tomorrow. Wish me luck. Your wilderness adventurer, Wildlife CSI, James. This is where James' wildlife thread ends. There were a bunch of commenters asking him for updates, but he never gave any. They never found any reports of a missing person named James in West Virginia. But one commenter did find someone named Daniel J. Schindley, whose middle name was supposed to be James, but was 20 years old and reported missing in Maryland 2 weeks after James' last post above. Does anyone else have any info on this? Thanks. I'm sort of a nature guy. I say sort of because I'm not a nature guy, but I spend a considerable amount of time outside. It's mostly downloading music and going for hikes in my area. That sort of nature guy. This is why I consider myself fortunate that my backyard borders miles of forest. This is fortunate because I live in a very suburban area where most people are rationed only if...
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Few feet of neatly groomed yard. My backyard isn't large, but once I crossed the threshold of brush and trees, I met with unearthed stones that create mock canyons. I get to walk along skinny, running creeks of water. Some of the rock formations are so colossal, the area where the rock meets the soil juts up and forms overhangs that I could sit under to get out of the heat. It really is a gift to have all of this behind my house. I had never had a reason to feel anything but serenity out there. But as of a few months ago, that serenity had taken on the guise of uneasy anticipation that something horrible happened out there. About 3 months ago, I went as deep into the woods as I have ever gone. I probably made my way through the trailless woods for about 3 hours. I was following a creek that was a stone or two away from being dammed up, but it muscled on away when something caught my attention. There was the base of a man-made stone structure. I went over to investigate. The structure was a dark gray rock that had patches of green moss running up it. I thought to myself that it must have been an old fire pit or maybe a well of sorts. But what the hell did I know? There was no one around for miles, so the structure had to be really old. I was about to keep on following the creek when it clicked with me. The structure was a chimney, the top of a chimney. At first, I was in disbelief. There was no way it could be that. I started to dig away at the base of the chimney, and it kept on revealing more and more chimney no matter how much dirt I moved away. I eventually got down on my knees and started moving the dirt away using a nearby rock to break it up. I went on, strangely invested in seeing its end when I struck roof shingles. Yes, a few inches below the dirt were the roof shingles. I didn't know what to think, if it was cool or terrifying. I hadn't decided yet. I did know that I was going to come back with some towels and move more dirt away, because at the time I hadn't been completely freaked. The next weekend I hiked back out to the house. The house had been on my mind almost obsessively. I made my way out there with a newly bought pickaxe and a shovel from my garage. After a pretty rough few hours, I made it to the house. I was able to remember its location using the creek as a guiding reference. For the rest of the day, I dug at the ground at a grueling pace. Yet sure enough, a full-sized roof was being revealed. When I had just enough time to make it back before sundown, I decided to go back home. But I left my tools propped up on the chimney. I was exhausted and drinking some water I had brought when I noticed how eerily quiet everything was. No animal chatter, no wind, just the persistent trickle of the creek. No, there was one more sound. It was muffled, but I followed it. It was a radio, and it was coming from the house. I pressed up against the roof and listened hard. The hum of the radio could be heard inside the house. Someone had to be living inside the house. I suddenly felt a sense of dread. I felt a sense of being miles from my home and potentially not alone. I left immediately and made a leg-numbing trek back to my house. About 2 months later, I went back one last time. Curiosity got the best of me. And I wish I could say that I was smart and I forgot about it. But come on, how could you forget about this? I made it out to the house. It was in the exact way I had left it, tools and all. There was no radio playing, though. I had gone out early, so I had time. I got to work on digging out the roof. I dug a pathway to the edge to where I thought the roof would be so I could dig down the side of the house. Relatively quickly, I made it to the edge and began down. I worked fervently and with great focus until I had about an inch of window exposed. I stuck my head into the hole to press up against the tiny sliver of the window, but I couldn't make anything out. I dug for nearly an hour more until I had the window almost completely exposed. I pushed open on the window, and to my surprise, it slid open with ease as if it was new. The earth I was laying on fell away, and I tumbled down into the house. It was dark, but my eyes were adjusting. I sat up. The light outside illuminated the room a bit, and to my shock, the whole house was completely furnished and seemed like it was being lived in. The room I was in must have been a guest room. It was decorated in a very 2000s era fashion. Somehow the house had airflow too, and with my eyes now adjusted, I made my way to the bedroom door. I grabbed the knob and slowly turned it. The door didn't even creak as I peeked into the hallway. I couldn't see much, but I heard something. This time, it wasn't a radio. It was someone crying. The hallway had an off-white colored carpet flooring and a wooden staircase that led to a presumed first floor. Down the stairs, I could hear the gentle cries of a woman. I froze up. I wanted to call out for her, but I knew I had crossed a personal boundary of mine hours ago. When I decided to come out here, I must have been locked up for a minute or so when a new sound was born. Footsteps. And they were coming up the stairs, fast. I quickly shut the door and made a hard turn towards the window. I scrambled anxiously up the dirt mound that had let itself into the room through the window. Whatever was coming after me had opened the door and was gaining on me, but did not make a sound beside the heavy footsteps. I got out the window and slid it shut right as something pounded up against it. The whole time, the woman downstairs never stopped crying. I didn't stop. I climbed out of the hole and tore off through the woods. The whole way back, I felt followed by a sense of hopelessness and dread. I don't remember much from the run back, but when I got home, I passed out on my couch. I woke up a few hours later and the sun had set. I locked all my doors and windows, scared that thing from the house would follow me, and then took a shower. As of now, nothing more has come of the house. I did call the police and reported the incident about a week ago, so I expect to hopefully hear from them soon. The uneasiness of my experience with that house has kept me out of those woods for good. In fact, I have kind of taken a hiatus on hiking alone. If there are ever updates, I can let you all know. But for now, that is everything. This is a story about my first camping trip and how I lost all of my friends. I never went camping, and I do not really have any motivation to go to the forest anyways. Even though I loved forests and nature, I never had courage to go explore my nearby woods all by myself. I usually just stay at home and play games like Rayman Origins. I got a message from my friend Clara, who wanted to take me and two of my other friends to the forest. Clara was a great person, with whom I had special kind of relationship. She was nice, caring, and we all were friends since childhood. And we kind of started to feel more attraction to each other, but we were too shy to ask each other on proper dates. Since I had nothing else to do other than try and 100% complete Rayman Origins, I decided to go with Clara and the others on a camping trip. We met next to one of my friends' houses, and Clara greeted me with a small hug. My two other friends, Jermaine and Lucas, were busy putting stuff inside the car trunk. Jermaine is a car nut and will always talk about car things. He especially loved racing, and he fell in love with Initial D when...
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I first introduced him to it. Lucas was a person who suggested the idea of the camping trip. He liked nature and wanted to take some pictures with his new camera. Both of them brought everything that we needed for our camping trip, like food, sleeping bags. When everything was ready, I sat down on the back seat with Clara, and we were on our way. The forest itself was located at the edge of our town, so I knew that we would be driving for several hours. Clara and I spent our time just chatting, while Lucas and Jermaine listened to the radio. When we finally got to the place, the first thing I saw was a sign that said, Corniger Woods. I stepped out of the car and I heard Clara suddenly gasp, so I immediately went to go check on her. In front of me laid a body of a deer with its guts splattered on the ground. It was not a very pretty sight to behold, especially at the start of a fun trip with friends. Jermaine, okay guys, let's not let some deer corpse ruin our trip. Jermaine locked his car and went to the woods with Lucas. I held Clara's hand and led her to the same direction. I tried to look brave, but inside I was quite nervous, since I had never been in the forest, and I don't know what to expect. We went down a trail that led deeper and deeper into the woods. I decided to ask Lucas why he decided to go camping here specifically, which he answered. "Well, I was always curious about this place. Plus, I heard this place is filled with animals, so I wanted to take pictures of them." "So he just came here to take pictures of animals?" "Well, I suppose it's a good enough reason to go camping in the woods like these." But I still felt weird. We picked a spot where we could rest for a bit. A small area of the woods with not too many trees around. A perfect camping spot. We set up the tents and I sat down to rest. I checked my phone. It was 15:30. Clara sat down next to me. "Hey, are you feeling okay? Is something wrong?" "No, just a bit nervous. It's my first time after all." "I am sure that you will feel better very soon. If you get bored, just tell me. Maybe we could chat or do something fun together, okay?" "Thanks. I knew you could always cheer me up. I'll probably be fine. Go help these dudes set up the tent. They are struggling." Clara smiled at me and kissed me on the cheek before going to Lucas and Jermaine, who failed to set up a tent. Clara had more experience with camping since her father was a park ranger, so he taught her some lessons. I noticed a weird piece of paper on one of the trees next to me, so I got up and took a look. It was a missing persons poster. A family of four had gone missing a year ago. Mother, father, daughter, and son. The boy in particular looked like he was about 5 years old. I decided to take the picture of the poster for later, just in case I find them. It was starting to get a little dark, so Lucas asked me and Jermaine to go looking for some wood to start a campfire. Lucas and Clara decided to stay in the camp, since Clara wanted to show Lucas how to make a proper tent. I sighed and went with Jermaine to the woods to get some twigs. Trees in these woods look tall and quite old, but at the same time, perfectly untouched. While I looked around, I nearly fell into a lake, but thankfully, Jermaine caught my hand. The lake was pretty, even though the water was a little green. I saw ducks floating in the distance, and I decided to watch them. I felt at peace, and I'd never seen anything so pretty before. But Jermaine decided to ruin this peace by telling me that he had found a corpse in the lake. I sighed and got up, to what I saw was a corpse of a wolf floating. Never thought I'd seen a dead body of a wolf, but here we are, I guess. I told him that we already had enough twigs, so we should head back to camp. On our way back, I felt a little nervous, especially after what I had saw at the lake. Jermaine thought that this could be a great opportunity to scare me by making creepy sounds. I told him to stop, but after 3 minutes, he continued to do it again and again. I started to hear weird sounds coming from behind me, like some sort of gurgling and weird snapping. Thinking it was some sort of joke, I decided that enough is enough. "Dude, stop that already." Instead of Jermaine standing behind me, I saw a deer. Jermaine was supposed to be with me, but why was there a deer standing behind me all of a sudden? I stared at the deer for a while until it just turned around and ran into the woods. I started to feel a little worried. I tried to scream Jermaine's name, but there was no answer. The twigs he had carried around were lying on the ground. I grabbed the twigs and ran to the camp. When I came back, Clara and Lucas were already waiting for us. When Clara noticed that Jermaine is not with me, she asked me where he was. I told her I had no idea. Clara and Lucas were all confused as I was. Clara noticed that I was in distress, so she brought me to her tent to calm me down. I told her everything. She believed every word I said, but she thought that Jermaine is probably pranking us. Jermaine is a big prankster, and when he sees an opportunity to cause mischief, he gladly takes it. So I thought that maybe he is just trying to fool me, and the fact that the deer was following me may just be a coincidence. Clara hugged me and told me that everything was going to be alright. And even if Jermaine did indeed go missing, they could call the police and ask them to search the forest. After 2 hours, we decided to cook some meals for us to eat. We listened to music and chatted, since all of us thought that Jermaine was going to pull a prank on us, so we decided to play along and act like we didn't expect it. We drank beers and sang until the sun went down. I felt much better, and I actually enjoyed myself. It was dark out, and Clara had started to feel sleepy, so we decided to go in our tents to sleep. Lucas, on the other hand, felt like it would be a great idea to take some pictures of animals with his camera. "Luke, how about you take pictures of animals in the morning instead? It's kind of dangerous to go out in the woods at night. I don't want you to get lost like Jermaine." "I can't miss out on an opportunity to take pictures of some night animals. After all, I came here for that exact reason. I heard this place has a big population of mountain lions." "So, are you saying that you just came here just to take pictures of mountain lions?" "Well, yes, because I never took pictures of a mountain lion." Our conversation got interrupted by the sudden scream coming from the woods that resembled a sound that a mountain lion would make. Lucas instantly decided that he would go on and find it. Letting Lucas go into the woods on his own is a terrible idea, so we went after him. With flashlight in hand, we followed Lucas into the direction of the sound. Screams of the lion made me feel uneasy. They sounded way too uncanny. Clara told me that if we see a lion, we should stay calm and stand our ground. Lucas suddenly stopped and crouched down behind a tree. We crouched as well. He grabbed his camera and prepared to take a picture of the lion that was standing right in front of our eyes. We stayed quiet. Lucas snapped a photo of it one after another. I felt a little worried because I was afraid it was going to notice us. I tapped Lucas on the shoulder, but he didn't stop. I noticed the back of his neck got a little bit more hairier than usual. Lucas suddenly started to feel unwell and vomited strange goo. This caused the mountain lion to look at us. We got up, stood still, and observed the creature that was standing before us. It was all going well until Lucas suddenly started to run away, causing the lion to chase after him. I had never seen a person run that fast before. Me and Clara ran after Lucas, hoping that he wouldn't get torn to shreds. We tried to distract the lion by flicking our flashlights at it. It surprisingly worked, and the lion stopped in its tracks and ran away into the woods. We followed the trail of footprints leading to a large stone, where Lucas was shivering and holding his face. We asked him if he was all right, but I noticed that despite literally getting chased by a wild predator, he smiled. I instantly felt like something wasn't right, so I tried to look closely at him. The hair on his body started to grow on his hands and legs. Clara and I felt uneasy, but we tried to calm him down.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Why does this feel so natural? This feeling, it's so amazing. You're not making any sense. What the hell is going on with you? I think I belong here. This is my home. This place is perfect for all of... Suddenly, Lucas grabbed his face and started to scream and make gurgling noises, the same ones I heard when Jermaine disappeared. Lucas's body started to change. The hair on his hands, which turned into something that resembled paws. He began to shrink in size and his ears got longer. Clara and I just couldn't run. We were standing in place like our boots got nailed to the floor. While the noises stopped, we were not looking at Lucas. We were looking at a rabbit. What was left of Lucas was his camera. The rabbit ran away into the woods, just like the deer. Clara and I had no words, but what we can say was we just saw our friend transform into a wild animal. After that, I knew something happened to Jermaine. He turned into a damn deer and lost his mind. Clara and I took a look at the photos he had taken. We came back to camp, baffled by what we had saw, afraid of what will happen to me and what will happen to her if we stay here for any longer. We went back into the tent, but Clara decided that she would stay in my tent. Clara hugged me and started crying into my shirt. I couldn't help but cry with her. I tried to calm her down, telling her that everything would be okay. Clara and I looked into each other's eyes, unsure of what to do. There may be a possibility that one of us will turn into an animal too, but I had to save her and myself from this curse. I told Clara that we need to leave this forest as fast as possible. Clara grabbed my hand and we ran out of our camp as fast as we could. I was sure I was going in the right direction. I felt like the whole forest is watching me. I couldn't look at this forest the same way. It's not a forest. It's green hell. The more we ran, the more I looked around. I tried not to waste any minute here, trying to get out as fast as possible before one of us joins Lucas and Jermaine. Clara told me to stop all of a sudden. I stopped and looked at her. I was terrified. Her legs, they turned in the hoofs. She couldn't walk and she scraped her knees. I quickly grabbed her and carried her in my arms, still trying to find an exit. I was telling Clara that everything would be okay. Clara put hands on my cheeks and smiled, hair starting to grow on her arms and her body. She kissed my cheek and said words that still echo in my mind. I want you to get out. I'm not sure if I'll be able to make it out. I'm not sure if I'll be able to walk with legs like these. I want you to continue your life. It's better if you just leave me here. Just know that I love you. I am sorry for not telling you sooner. I will try to remember you, even if I won't be human anymore. With tears in my eyes, I ran faster and faster, trying my hardest to save her. But I was too late. What was once a friend that I loved became a wild boar. She squealed in my arms and started kicking me. I had to let her go. She sprinted towards the woods, but before that, she looked at me. I don't know what to do anymore. The boar slowly disappeared into the woods. I sighed, and with tears in my eyes, I ran to the exit. And eventually, by sheer luck, I finally got out. I immediately tried to open the door, but I forgot I had no keys. I didn't know what to do. I escaped the woods, but I have no way of coming back. Suddenly, I saw red and blue lights at the distance. I waved my hands in desperation. The police car stopped next to me and the officer stepped out of the vehicle. He thought that my car just ran out of gas, but I begged on my knees to just get me out of there. The officer realized that this may not be a simple gas issue, and he sat me down in his car and asked me a few questions.
So, kid, what happened? You look like you got chased by some maniac.
I tried to find my way out of the woods. I went on a camping trip there. My friends wanted to take photos of a mountain lion in nature. My friends did not make it out. The forest took them.
I'm very sorry for your loss. This forest isn't right, I tell you. So many people disappear, and at the same time, the wildlife in this place just keeps increasing in numbers. I remember when I was young, this place was like just trees. And now, everywhere you look, a squirrel, rabbit, deer, wolf. And at the same time, I got many reports of roadkill animals next to this road. It's like they wanted to be there, Anyways, what's your name, son? And tell me the names of your friends so we can find them.
My name is Sullivan Armstrong. My friends are Clara Wheeler, Jermaine Smith, and Lucas Wells.
All right. Well, let's get you home, and we'll interrogate you tomorrow, all right?
After the officer told me this, I quietly looked out the window of his front seat. I took a glance at the corpse of the deer that we left on the road. But instead of a deer, I saw a dead body of a man. The father from the picture. And at the entrance to the forest stood three deers. Two small ones and their mother, I suppose. They all just looked at the corpse of the man, who once was just roadkill.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.